when I was 18, I started building computers back when I think the first computer I built was based off the AMD K6-2, which is a processor that's super old now. I mean, it's like 20 years old. But I mean, you know, I've just been building computers, and you know, I've always had like a technology kind of background, you know, ever since I was really young. And, you know, even though I never necessarily got into that as a career up until starting up my own business, it was something that I'd always spent a decent amount of time in, you know, even growing up and working in corporate America in sales and sales management type positions.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko. James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. Today we're talking about traffic. We're talking about funnels. I've brought along a friend of mine, Josh Marsden, to talk about such things. Welcome, Josh.
Hey, James. Thanks for having me.
It's really good to have you along sharing some stuff because I know how generous you are. And you've been in this, I suppose we'll use the word funnel business for quite some time. I think you were one of the very early certified people in some of the popular software applications out there.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, Infusionsoft, also Digital Marketer, which, you know, isn't a service, but I was the second Digital Marketer certified partner back in late 2014. And yeah, I've been doing this now for over 5 years. I'm still loving it. You know, I'm just very fortunate and very blessed to have found essentially like my niche, that something that really like drives me every single day.
So just a little bit of history. We met in Austin. I was at Ryan Levesque's Ask Masterclass and you were there learning the craft. I think it's great to go to events like that to educate yourself, to see what the best techniques are. Of course, you probably implement those sort of things for clients with your agency, which you have over at cvoaccel.com. Do you find that that sort of continuous education is a big part of what you do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in this crazy world of online marketing that, you know, we both participate in, I mean, especially if you sell services that has to do with implementing the latest and greatest strategies and tactics when it comes to digital marketing, I mean, you have to stay up to date on everything that's going on in the industry. That's actually part of the reason why I love what I do, too, because when I was younger and I was in corporate America, so to speak, I was bored at times. I wasn't getting challenged at times. And now I have no shortage of challenges because there's always something that I have to learn in order to stay ahead of, you know, the curve and, you know, be at the top of my game when it comes to, you know, helping clients generate leads and sales profitably online.
So, Josh, what did you used to do in the corporate world?
I'm laughing because you and I kind of have a similar like background. I was 10 years in sales or sales management, but that's what I did right before I started my company.
Right. I mean, it gives you a great ability to communicate, having those sort of skills. And then you've obviously got some technical expertise where you've been able to translate the sales process to happen in a more automated way. And I think you have a real affinity for process. Where did that come into it?
You know, that's a good question. I think there's a combination of like different factors that have really contributed to me being strong when it comes to just process and just being analytical. You know, altogether, just a few things. You know, I grew up a military brat, so I was very disciplined growing up. I was very organized growing up. I had to be that way, you know, all the way until I graduated high school. And then after high school, I luckily still maintain a lot of those traits. And I think that has kind of led me to having that type of approach when it comes to my company's work. And then I also, when I was younger, I got into computer programming in high school. And it was just something I did basically as an elective. And then when I went to college for the first time, I actually decided to major in computer science. And then that didn't work out. But, you know, it was essentially giving me some of that technology background early on in my life. And then on top of that, when I was 18, I started building computers, you know, back when I think the first computer I built was based off the AMD K6-2, which is a processor that's super old now. I mean, it's like 20 years old. But I mean, you know, I've just been building computers and you know, I've always had like a, you know, a technology kind of background, you know, ever since I was really young. And, you know, even though I never necessarily got into that as a career up until starting up my own business, it was something that I'd always spent a decent amount of time in, you know, even growing up and working in corporate America in sales and sales management type positions.
I love it. We probably have to come up with some kind of geek alert there. I like how you chuckled when you mentioned the technical specs of your computer. that's a giveaway, my friend. Now, in my travels as a business coach, I'm often finding business owners who are brilliant and have a particular expertise or specialty. And initially, some of them try and tinker around with the tools themselves. And I think some of the companies are really marketing themselves as a do-it-yourself solution. And then they get to a certain point where they have to cross that threshold and they either have to bring people into their in-house team or they deal with a service consultant, someone like you who is their tech person / marketing arms and legs, the person who's going to build them funnels and automation and systems and who's like the Dr. Doolittle, knows how all the tools work together. And I think this is the sort of client that you've attracted. What sort of entrepreneurs are coming to you for help? Typically, what sort of classifications? Because I think that's going to help someone listening to this identify where they're at in the hierarchy of getting help with tech.
Yeah. You know, I think that the best clients that we've worked with are, you know, successful companies in their own rights, are typically around, you know, mid six figures, more or less. And they just need help. You know, just like what you just said, you know, they need help with all the tech implementation, with having like someone that's in marketing day in, day out to collaborate with on marketing strategy. They need someone that's really needs help with data, with analytics, and, you know, can go through performance reporting and really diagnose what's happening in their marketing so this way they could take their marketing to the next level. You know, those are typically like the companies that we work best with. And on top of that, you know, companies that don't want to deal with trying to do that stuff in-house, whether it's them or going through the process of trying to find like the perfect team members, which is never easy. They don't want to deal with that. They don't want to go through that process. They don't want to go through potential opportunity loss or all the stress and all the challenges that come out of trying to train a team member. And they'd rather just, you know, reduce all that liability basically and just, you know, go to a professional agency that does great work and just, you know, hire them to team up with them to help them deliver, you know, the results that they want in their business by using online marketing effectively.
How realistic do you think it is that someone couldn't buy an off-the-shelf funnel software and just handle everything themselves these days?
Can you say that question one more time?
How realistic do you think it is that someone could buy an off-the-shelf funnel building software, and there's various tools around that do this, and just manage everything themselves?
Right. You know, it's it's not as easy as some of the marketing out there from ClickFunnels and all these other companies out there. It's not as easy as people make it out to be. I mean, sure, you know, getting a page built out definitely is much easier than it was 10 years ago, but getting it built out in a way that makes it professional, that's really speaks to the brand well, that has really good solid copy that converts. I mean, you know, that's not easy. So building the page might be easy, but actually building a page that works, that's not necessarily easy.
Yeah, I think you start layering a few tools. If you put in a chatbot here and a webinar there and a couple of other tricky things, it can get a little bit complex. I'd love it if you could just rattle off a list of the types of tools that you are working with on an ongoing basis, just to get a range of how agnostic your service might be.
Yeah, that's fine. So, you know, we really work with Infusionsoft, Entreport, Klaviyo. We also work with ClickFunnels or LeadPages. Those are typically our two funnel building softwares. However, you know, if someone has WordPress and they want to stick to WordPress and not have to, you know, agree to a subscription like ClickFunnels, you know, we also use Thrive quite a bit to build landing pages. And then when it comes to like split testing and optimization, we usually use Visual Website Optimizer to be able to run the type of split test we want to run and also get access to the data that we want to get access to. And then chatbot software, I mean, our two favorites right now are ManyChat and also Segmate. Those are really two really robust chatbot marketing softwares that do really well for generating the type of results that we want to generate using chatbots with our clients' funnels. Yeah, I think that pretty much covers like all the software that we typically use.
Cool. So with this in mind, Let's say I'm a coach or selling high ticket services. What sort of challenges do you deal with when someone's coming to you and they say, okay, I've got this program, it's $10,000 or $20,000, Josh, I need help. Where are you going to start? What's the sort of initial recommendation for how they get this thing working from start to ending up with a subscribed client?
Sure. I think, it first comes down to, like, you got to diagnose what they have, what that business has first. You know, what sales pages do they have that work? What emails do they have that work, for example? And then, once you've identified, like, what's working, then you really want to be able to build around that and get everything very consistent and congruent with each other too at the same time. So that's typically like the process that we go through when we're working with a brand new client in that same circumstance you just gave me. You know, if that were someone that came to us, I'm going to spend a few hours with them and just really learn more about the business, identify what's working, see what they need to do differently to get their performance where they want it to be, see what missing elements that they have that's missing from getting, that funnel to the performance objective that they want to be at as well. And just, really just approach it that way when it comes to the scope and the overall strategy. And then from there, obviously it's just a matter of execution and process, which, comes down to, the creative work, the implementation work, and then of course getting all the analytics and all the numbers right. So this way you can measure and track everything. And this way you can optimize it to get it to where you want it to be at.
Do they typically come to you with a mess, like things everywhere on different platforms and programs? Or, is this normal that people get a bit out of control, adding a bit here and a bit there? Or are you getting people sort of at an earlier stage where they're just like, okay, I've got a great idea. Can you make this sell?
It's normal. I mean, if you're a successful business, then you probably have all sorts of messes in your business, so to speak, when it comes to funnels and landing pages and emails and sequences and, all sorts of stuff just slapped together basically. So yeah, every single time we work with a client, it's not working from scratch. It's typically working from existing assets. And we just, my job as a marketing consultant early on when working with a new company is to, really basically, look through everything and see what's reusable and what's not. And, like I said before, help them accomplish whatever their goal is, based off of what they already have in their business and what we can provide for them.
Cool. And do you have a favorite strategy? Is there a one that works really well each time you execute?
Yeah, so... there isn't necessarily a consistent strategy because, there's a lot of parameters, there's a lot of different things that go into every single strategy. There's the offer, there's the price point, there is, the market, who you're targeting, all that stuff. There definitely is some standards on Facebook advertising, for example, that I can speak to that are consistently working amongst all of our Facebook ad clients. Would you like me to speak to that?
Yeah, I'll take anything that you prepared to share that is working quite well, because it would be a good checklist for someone listening to this to see if they've already got it in place or if they want help to get it in place. So let's start with that.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great. So, right now with Facebook, what's really working well is just having a layered Facebook ad strategy. And what that means is, really having these four stages really focused on your Facebook advertising. The first stage is the awareness stage, which is how you're creating authority in the market that you want to attract. And this comes down to, your content, whether it's blog content or video content. This comes down to articles that maybe you've written or you've been seen in. It comes down to that type of content to attract people into the top of your funnel from a cold audience. And on top of that, when you're using that type of content, you're able to reach 1,000 people for anywhere between $5 to $15, which is really cheap. Once they're in your funnel, then you want to, really engage with them. And so this is where you want to, show them some of your best content, but at the same time, you want to show who you are as a brand. And typically the brand is represented by the point man or point woman, which is the leader of the business. And so, typically, in small business, you are your own brand is what I'm getting at there. And so you want to show yourself authentically, in engagement type content where you're going over your views, where you're, talking about different experiences, when you're talking about different case studies, that type of content in the engagement stage. And then the third stage is the conversion stage. And this is, you know, the stage everybody wants to get to right away. But if you do it in this sequential order, you're going to really reduce your cost per lead and your cost per acquisition and also increase your profit from Facebook advertising. And so the conversion stage is, you know, just all about getting them into your funnels, whether it's a lead gen funnel, whether it's a purchase funnel, you know, depending on what, you know, type of business you have, what offer you have, you know, it really just comes down to what's the best strategy to get people to become customers. And it comes down to a lot of different factors there. So either way, it's just about converting them at that stage. And then once you have converted them, it's about monetization. So what are you doing with Facebook ads to be able to maximize your customer lifetime value? And that comes down to using dynamic product ads. It comes down to offering something more like high ticket to your customers. You know, that's what it comes down to at that stage. So that is universal. That strategy is universal. And you could even expand on that with using like Google AdWords and other like ad platforms out there to be able to be everywhere, essentially, once they've come into your funnel. But Facebook's still great for your awareness stage. And you can definitely like focus on Facebook alone throughout all four of those stages, but you can definitely expand out to other platforms. So this way you can maximize your return on your investment.
And I imagine you can get a pretty effective and powerful campaign if you're only advertising your conversion to the people who have engaged with you rather than everybody. Like people who've watched a certain amount of views, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like we have a client, for example, that is literally at 1200% return on ad spend, and they've been with us advertising for about 3 months. And I mean, they've spent, just to give you an exact number here, they've spent just under 17 grand and they've made back just over 207 grand. So, I mean, it's a, this process works, this strategy works, and it can definitely generate results fairly quickly as well. There's definitely a number of factors that go into it, but that's just one example of how this strategy can work really well for a company.
How important do you think the offer is? Have you found offers that you just can't make convert?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. Yeah, we have. And, you know, from an agency perspective, it's, you know, we're much more careful now these days in how we set expectations with clients and how we're evaluating, you know, potential opportunities to help companies as well. You know, we definitely don't want to, you know, ever set the expectation that we can take an offer that necessarily hasn't been tested and we can, you know, get it to, you know, make a ton of money. I mean, you know, we can't set that expectation. We definitely usually work with companies that have a validated offer because we did find, let's just say 2 years ago or more even, we did find that there were cases where we were helping companies and they had offers that hadn't been necessarily validated. And we were, you know, putting an entire funnel together. And unfortunately, you know, the funnel didn't work out. And you know, so since then, really, you know, learned that those are not our best clients or best customers. And so we really try not to, you know, work with too many companies like that unless we have clear expectations and they know that, you know, with marketing, there really isn't any guarantees. But if you put a lot of work into the research, you put a lot of work into, you know, the entire process behind, you know, creating a funnel and creating like a campaign or a launch, then you could have a good potential of it being successful. But at the same time, it's still potential. And so we're very careful as far as like what companies we work with when it comes to offering offers that have not been validated.
And what would be your favorite lead magnets that you would love someone to bring to you and say, okay, this is what we've got to put out into the marketplace? What ones work the best, do you think?
Yeah. So, you know, these days, you know, typically lead magnets that work the best are quizzes, for one. Quizzes have not lost their relevance. The free PDFs and free reports and free guides, I mean, they still do work to an extent, but we definitely are in a day and age right now where people don't want to jump through hoops. They don't want to give their email information, you know, too quickly to get a free guide or to get a free report. That's why, you know, having that four stage strategy built out in your business with Facebook ads really helps because, you know, then you can really create that relationship before you ask for anything, including an email address. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, quizzes and, you know, mini classes and video trainings, those are typically like the best like free reports or free offers, I should say, that do really well right now.
What about a book?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, so I can't say that I've ever had any experience offering like a book. Ebooks, yes, but not actual books in our clients' funnels. So I can't really comment on books, whether or not they're effective or not as lead magnets.
Very nice. So what are the biggest mistakes that you see people making? I'm sure you've watched people's marketing from the sidelines, perhaps, you know, not clients, just people out there in the marketing space, because you're keeping an eye on what's happening. What do you see and you think, oh, you know, someone should tap them on the shoulder and let them know this isn't going to work?
So, I mean, I think for one, whenever you're advertising, you need to have everything measured. I see that time and time again, that people and companies are not making decisions based off of measurable results. And that's definitely a big mistake. You don't want to ever do anything without having ROI in mind, in my opinion, when it comes to business and marketing. I mean, besides that, you know, I think that overcomplicating funnel processes, which is something that even I'm guilty of at times, which you've been coaching me on, obviously, James.
I was just quietly smiling there. It's like I often find when I work with someone who's got a lot of genius talent, they can tend to get stuck in it. And it's my job, because I don't have that talent, I don't get too caught up in the small stuff. Yeah, it's sometimes, you know, it's like the mechanic with the beaten up car. They just get so obsessed about one part of it, they miss the whole thing. But I think complexity is, it's kind of a magnet in this world. If you've grown up on computers and you love marketing, and then there's all these new tools coming out, I can only imagine that the magnetic pull to be digging around and tinkering with it is strong.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually, you know, I know that we've talked about this a little bit, but that's a good point. It's like a shiny new toy that comes out you want to play with, you know, being.
There is the other factor too. You know, when I started out, I was building my own websites. I'm sure anyone listening to this for a long time would know I used to sell website software as my first affiliate recommendation. And I was building my own website, and I spent an inordinate amount of hours messing around with font sizes and choosing different color panels for the layouts. I had most things sorted when it came to how the software worked, but I wasn't focusing on the things that matter, like the sales copy or driving traffic. It took me a long time to make any money doing that affiliate business because I spent too much time trying to learn the stuff that in the end, I don't even touch that stuff anymore. Like I don't even log into my WordPress site. I've got team members who do this. But even that being said, my team members are really talented and skilled and have been with me now for a long time, but we still get outside help for some of the more technical bits, like particularly reporting and APIs and just anything new or technological, we'll bring in help so that we can get the result much faster instead of trying to learn it ourselves, even though I've got people in the team who can do it. And over time, we might take it over. But generally, I think there is definitely a strong need for people who can just come in and make everything work for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it just saves a lot of time. You know, also it allows, you know, the business to stay in their zone of genius, so to speak, you know, whether it's serving clients with, you know, more energy and more time, or whether it's, you know, creating more content, or whether it's creating more offers, or whether it's just, you know, reducing time, you know, in your business so you could have more of a work-life balance, you know, which is key, you know, to longevity. I mean, I think it's smart to do that. I mean, just like you said just a second ago, I mean, the speed of the results comes much faster when you have hands in your business that have experience and have talent, have the skill to be able to deliver those results faster.
Yeah, you either spend some money or you spend time. And I spent a lot of time in the beginning, and now I'd rather spend some money and get the results. And I think a lot of this comes back to having something to sell. And I can't stress this enough. It's a topic in my book, which is called Work Less, Make More, available on Amazon and Audible. Well, that's the extent of the advertising on this podcast. So having that offer means everything, because without the offer, it's hard to get the revenue to put back into hiring the people who can get you the revenue, to put back into hiring the people who can help you get the revenue and to deliver the results, and you end up with a big pile of profit. But you have to have the offer. So I imagine there's people out there with an offer that's not that great who are going through Facebook ad supplier after Facebook ad supplier and making them the bad guy. And now you've mentioned you've got strong filters, which is fantastic. And something that I would advise any service business is be very careful who you work for, in the same way that I'm pretty selective about who I want to work with, where you can maximize the results. What would be on your checklist of ideal things that a client would have for you to think they're a good person to work with?
Sure. You know, for one, I know this is going to sound maybe a little cheesy, but, you know, we have to like that person first. I mean, you know, you just have to have rapport with that person, you know, because if you have rapport with, you know, your clients, you know, it just creates a better experience all around and just more synergy. And it sets everybody up to be successful together. So, you know, that's the first thing I would say. But, you know, besides that, it would have to do with do they have voids in their business that we can really help them with? You know, do we see like opportunities to really magnify their results because they're not doing quite a bit in their business they could be doing, or they're doing things in their business they could be doing much more effectively that we can really help them out with? Besides that, you know, just having like a good, solid, validated offer or set of offers that we can really magnify, you know, with the right strategy, the right approach, and also the right split testing all the way, you know, between traffic and the funnel. You know, those are basically some factors that we look for when we're evaluating whether or not we want to work with a company that is thinking about coming on board with us.
Right. So I want to just go back to something you said before about ROI being important and measuring and tracking things. Do you have favorite tools for that?
Yeah. Well, for one, I mean, just having, you know, all your ads reporting set up, whether it's Facebook or Google, you know, just making sure you really have your ads reporting set up. And I mean, all the way down to the goal that you're really pushing for, you know, the conversion goal, not just basic metrics like CTR and CPC, but the amount of customers you're generating, the cost per customer, or if you're going for, you know, lead generation, you know, measuring that appropriately and just having it precisely tracked, you know, that's key in order to be able to do advertising right, which is, you know, focusing on ROI. When it comes to the funnel, I mean, nowadays, you know, we have a lot of platforms give you some solid stats to start with, like ClickFunnels, for example, does give you like the step-by-step funnel conversion rates. If you want to get deeper into that, you definitely need to go beyond what ClickFunnels or any other platform gives you to get details like, do people scroll down on the page? Do people click on the button? For example, you know, those are what I call micro conversions. You'd want to measure that with, at minimum, Google Analytics and Google Event Tracking, which obviously, you know, Google Analytics and Google Event Tracking is 100% free. You just have to know what you're doing to set those up. But otherwise, I mean, Visual Website Optimizer, which isn't free, but it's a very robust tool. And I know there's others out there very similar to VWO, and I'm sure they're all great as well. We just always use VWO. That's something we have in our agreements with clients too, when we're doing a split testing and optimization, that they have to get Visual Website Optimizer, the testing version, which is $60 a month. But that gives you like access to detailed data. So this way you can really break down every step throughout your funnel and really identify where there's fallout, you know, where there's opportunity to optimize to improve overall performance. That's what we do.
And the other thing that came up in my interview with Scott DeGrozier from Wicked Reports is the amount of time that it can take to get that ROI. It was on the data that he had collected, which was a lot, $1.5 billion in sales. I think the average time was like 45 days to get the return on investment. So he was talking about how tripwires, it's quite rare that they would actually work out of the gate up front as readily as we might have expected they would from all the hype that's around on them. When I was looking into my own analytics in Wicked Reports, I saw that most of my conversions happened between 15 and 60 days. And I think part of that is because my top conversion device is an email sequence that takes about 2 weeks to unfold to the call to action to purchase. That would be the where we go from the engagement to the conversion. Have you seen similar data or something different in terms of how long it takes to get that return?
You know, so that metric, for example, it's definitely important, but it's more important, in my opinion, when you've got a very, very, you know, robust, successful, you know, business, let's just say doing high six figures or early seven figures. Because then at that point, you really are trying to identify like the little hinges that swing big doors, you know, throughout the funnel. And so you really want to know what specific ad is, for example, you know, leading to the lowest cost per conversion and the highest conversion altogether from the ad itself. Because then you know, like, that's a leverageable point in your funnel that you can really maximize to get more leads. And, you know, or in your example that you just, you know, stated, if it takes, you know, let's just say 14 days to be able to convert a brand new lead to a customer, where does that happen? And then what can you do to, you know, really double down right there? So this way you can decrease the, you know, the amount of time it takes for them to convert from prospect to customer. That's where you really do need access to deep data. And that's why Wicked Reports is awesome, you know, because when you have that level of a business, then you've basically surpassed, you know, what Google Analytics and Facebook Ads reporting and Google Ads reporting and some of those, you know, more basic free reporting softwares can do for you, because now you really need to identify where those little hinges are that could swing big doors in your business to be able to really scale and get the highest return on your investment.
That's such a great point. One thing that I did to speed it up after seeing that data was put a specific call to action in the very first email with a fast path, letting people come through straight away. And that has opened up the doors, which is good. And I'm expecting the data will change. And then, of course, the big event that was happening at 14 days was the first email. So I've rewritten that email to test if we can increase our conversions from that email. So I'm looking for our overall percentage of conversions from that entire sequence to improve. So really, really good stuff. What other sort of exciting or interesting things are on your mind at the moment that you look forward to working on when it comes to maybe some campaigns you're working on now or about to? What sort of things excite you? Where do you see the opportunities that might be worth putting some attention on if it's not already there?
Yeah. Well, you know, right now we've got two back-to-back kind of promo slash launches that we're embarking on as of this recording. So I've got that basically on my mind that I'm really excited for. My team's been doing a great job, though, of you know, getting us ready for these two launches coming up. And I'm just really stoked to, you know, get in there, help my team, you know, really deliver like maximum impact. I'm basically eyeing beating like previous high points for these clients and their previous like launches or promotions. That's just the competitor in me, because I always look for like competitive angles so I can do my best work. So I'm really excited for that, just because, you know, that's something that really drives me and excites me, is just, you know, seeing numbers coming in. Like, you know, when I spoke to those ROI results from one of our clients earlier, you know, that excites me. I love talking about that stuff, and I love analyzing and looking at data and things like that. But besides that, I mean, I also have my first book coming out really soon, as you know. It's Facebook Advertising Strategies and Tactics for E-Commerce Companies, 2018 edition. That's going to be launching October 1st. And I've got a bunch of great people that have contributed to the book, including like Molly Pittman, J. Trevor Chapman, David Schloss, Sam Bell, and Amanda Bond, and a bunch of other awesome, you know, Facebook ad specialists out there. They've all contributed to the book. So I'm really excited to get this, you know, labor of love out there. I mean, I've literally been working on it since I think March of this year. So it's been a process, as you can imagine. But I'm excited. I'm stoked to get it out there and deliver a lot of value. So that's what I've got going on right now that excites me.
Well, it sounds like your book funnel's going to be fine-tuned soon.
Yep. Has to be.
Nice. So if someone's listening to this, they've got a e-commerce business or a coaching business, or they provide a service like you do, what are the three things that you would have them go and check as a sort of a checklist as a result of listening to this podcast? What sort of things would you expect that someone might have written down that they should go and focus on? If you could ask, wave your magic wand and have them go and check three things, what would they be?
Well, for one, make sure that you have everything measured and tracked, all the way up to, you know, obviously the overall ROI, but you also want to know all your step conversions, and you want to know how effective every piece of marketing material is in your funnel. And if you don't, then that's definitely something that I would recommend, like spending some time on. So this way you can maximize your efforts and maximize your return on your ad spend. Besides that, I would also take a look at your funnel and see where you have leaks. See where you have opportunities to, you know, bolt on additional, you know, follow-up sequences or follow-up channels, whether it's with emails or whether it's with chatbots. They all have potential to make a deep impact on your overall ROI and results. Besides that, you know, also take a look at what you can do to offer more with your customers, because, you know, that's an easy, quick win that most businesses can usually achieve if they can identify like a good offer that they can make to their customers. That's a bigger offer or offers more value or more impact or, you know, at a faster speed. That could be a huge opportunity as well that I would, you know, tell your audience to be keen on. So yeah, I mean, I would say those are the three areas that business owners really need to take a look at to be able to maximize the impact and just the overall sales in their business.
I love it. I love talking to someone like you. It's like a subject matter expert. I haven't given you any prompts for this discussion, and I love that you know your product so well that you can come up with three off the cuff like that. Look, I just want to say personally, I've really enjoyed working with you because I get to see behind the scenes. And I know how much you care about what you're doing and how passionate you are about your field of expertise. And I think that's something I encourage people to get to. You know, sometimes there's a means to an end in the beginning where you're doing something that's not in your pure passion wheelhouse. But I think it's great when you get there because your work just shines through. So it's been awesome getting to see how you operate and how much you care about your processes and the team and getting customers' results. So yeah, I just want to say thanks for coming and sharing this stuff and good luck with the book. I know that's going to go well. I'll make sure that we come back and link to it once it's published. So, Josh, any final thoughts regarding funnels and so forth as we close out?
I would just tell your audience, you know, just like I said before, just make sure you have everything tracked. Don't do anything when it comes to marketing or just anything in your business, you know, investment-wise, whether it's time or money, unless you have an ROI in mind. You know, always do everything in your business with ROI in mind. But I would just say, you know, just make sure to have everything tracked effectively, because that's typically like the most common issue and problem that I see with a lot of companies that come over to, you know, my company and work with us. So, you know, that's the only wisdom that I would pass on to your audience right now.
Thank you. Yeah. And having been through that process of setting up tracking, I can attest to the value in knowing exactly where your opportunities are. It really brings in, you go from flying blind to flying with laser vision. So I've been chatting with Josh Marsden from CVOAccel.com, legendary generosity. Thank you so much for sharing, and we'll stay in touch and see what we can come back with in the future, on, especially after the book's out. We'll see which bits were popular, and I'm looking forward to that discussion.
Yeah, sounds great. Sounds great. And your audience too, if they, you know, want to reach out to me, they could always reach out to me at josh@cvoaccel.com if they, you know, have any questions following this podcast.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you, Josh.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.